Hello, Internet.
It's Tori. You're listening to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. To join the discussion, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/CosmereCast, where you'll find an invitation to our Discord server. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the show.
No. This stinks for editing. No.
Hello, Internet.
Yeah, you're editing this one, Mike.
I like it.
I had an introduction. Dave can go.
I'll do it again.
I think their introduction was them complaining, right?
Actually, no. So I responded right away, and Dave responded after I prompted him. The only weird one's going to be Tori, so who knows where she's going to end up in the editing sequence.
What?
Rude. We can't all be Egon Spengler, you guys.
True.
That's my thing.
What?
So this week, my good thing is they made an anime of Uzumaki, which is it's not a good thing, you guys, because it is horror and it is disturbing. It is psychological horror and it is disturbing, and you will come away being disturbed. So, but if you're into that sort of thing, it's great. It's only 4 episodes. It was on Adult Swim. You can also watch it on HBO, which is how I watched it because I don't have cable. And good adaptation. Some of the animation quality in episode 2 was especially bad, but faithful adaptation of a really great book. The book by Junji Ito, also great. But everything he's done, including The Cat Diary. Yes.
This is the Spiral guy, right?
Yes.
Spirals?
Yeah, that's what Uzumaki is. I'm actually, now that all the episodes are out, I invited my disturbed and horrible friends. There's, you know, your circle of friends that you like well enough to invite to your house, and then there's your circle of friends that are going to enjoy something like Uzumaki, and it's a very small overlap, this group. So I've got 5 people coming over next weekend, and we're having an Uzumaki watch party, and I'm serving all spiral-shaped foods. I'm making cinnamon rolls and cream cheese pinwheels and homemade pizza rolls, and if I do salad, I'm using rotini pasta.
You're messing with their heads so hard.
I'm so excited about this, you guys.
Yeah. Yep.
Real quick, anyone else think it's funny that back in the 90s and aughties, people that had cable didn't have HBO, and now people that have HBO don't have cable?
Yes.
Hey, my, how it's the right. Tables have You're turned. Right.
But also, HBO, props to them, still doesn't have commercials, unlike Amazon Prime. I was trying to get caught up on the new season of Vox Machina, and I'm going to have to pay for ad-free. So terrible. So, all right. But we're talking good things, so moving on.
Are they available on...
episode's released in December.
Are they available? Hey, it's always... You can always wear spooky. Or watch spooky. Is it available on a streaming service? Oh.
I also always wear spooky. I've got my orange shirt with the little ghosties on it. That's in my closet year-round. That's not October exclusive. I am not familiar with the blood gun. Okay, I'm with you. Cool.
Oh, so it's like a film technique. I was thinking it meant an in-universe thing.
Is there, like, literally a gun that they use? Oh, no.
I'll crash.
Should we all stop ours and...
No, I disagree. We should keep running. The rest of us should keep running and count Mike in. I think that'll be the easiest way to edit it.
Yeah, mine is still running because I didn't get a consensus on if I should stop.
Yeah, we should keep it running and then one of us will count Mike back in.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. Let us know when you're ready. I'll count you in. Someone with a continuous recording has to count you in. All right. Mike's back in 3, 2, 1. Mike.
Hey, I'm back, and if this sounds weird to you, it's because my Audacity crashed, and we lost the entire first part of me in the episode, and I think we're all too lazy to just redo it, so we're just going to go. So I'll start my good thing over.
Oh, no, wait, it didn't save. No.
You should be able to recover the project that was running.
I tried, and it didn't work, so...
Ah, well, Darcy.
Anyway, my good thing this week.
The impertinence. I mean, audacity.
My good thing this week is a couple of spoopy comedies. They are called The Babysitter and The Babysitter 2, 2017, 2020. They are Netflix originals. On par, in my mind, to Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. Streamable on Netflix. Directed by McGee, who was the executive producer for Supernatural. And if you know Supernatural, there's the blood gun. And it gets used pretty heavily in this as well. There's so much blood spraying. It's amazing.
Tell us about the blood gun. What does that mean?
So in the cold opens to most episodes of Supernatural, you get to see someone killed by the monster of the week. And generally this is shown by cutting away at the last second. And there's a spray of blood on a wall or a window or a door or something. And that spray of blood is made by a production assistant lying down on the ground, pointing toward the wall or door or window or whatever, and shooting the blood gun.
So it's not a rune-powered weapon that shoots cognitive entities. Got it.
No, that would be the ghost gun.
Ah, right. Ghosts also don't appropriate have blood,
for spooky season.
Except for the ghost bloods.
Bringing it back around.
If you want the other kind of ghost gun, then that's Ghostbusters.
And we can't all be Egon Spengler.
We cannot. So that
not
I think
gonna have any context either.
Oh no, because we lost Mike's intro.
That's fine. This will just be a weird beginning to an episode that is fine. It's fine.
Yeah, nobody's gonna
it's
know
fine.
What's going on, and we'll be like, hey, if you want to understand what's happening behind the scenes, there's possibly a way to do that.
Yeah, if anyone had been here live listening, they could have gotten the whole thing and would have had a great time listening back to this and not been confused. So to do that, you need to go to patreon.com/CosmereCast, patreon.com/CosmereCast, and you got to give us some money, and that'll let you listen to the live recordings. If you just want to join our Discord, you still have to go to the Patreon, but you don't have to give us money. You'll just find the link.
But, Mike, what if I don't want to give us money, but I still want to join the... you covered that.
And if you want to give us money and not join the Discord, you can also do that.
My mom did that. My mom did that. That guy, the muscle man.
Mm-hmm.
My mom gave us money and didn't join the Discord.
All right.
Show, we talked about it once.
Dave, since we're doing this in reverse order, I believe you are next. For all right,
reverse boss order. Time to fight Fantoon. My good thing this week, I finally got around to playing and completing Subnautica, you guys, and from what I understand, none too soon. From what I understand, none too soon. Oon.
Is there a Subnautica Monastery game being made?
Yeah, I don't know what he's getting at either.
There's a Subnautica 2 that was announced. Not to be confused with Subnautica, not Subnautica Below Zero. This is a completely different thing, which I only just found out yesterday. It's a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm. Are monasteries featured? Monasteries, nunneries, just any sort of Catholic building that houses nuns?
Rectories.
Yeah.
Those are for the priests.
Any of those feature heavily?
On two, Mike, not none.
Cloister. Cloister's another good word. Thank you, Carcassonne.
The emphasis is on two.
No, it was clearly on none. So what's up with these aquatic nuns?
None too soon. These pretzels are making me thirsty. So, yeah, Subnautica. You crash land on an alien planet. You swim a bunch. You look at stuff. And then you try to figure out how to not have to swim so much. It's a great game. I don't want to go into spoiler territory because I feel like mentioning too much about the game could easily be categorized as
no, Dave, kind of you never not swim too much.
That's my favorite. Your favorite exercise this week was swimming.
500% of your exercise.
I can add something that I don't think is too spoilery. It's not very scary until it is extremely very scary. It's a very sudden jump.
There were parts that I am told other people were scared by that I was just like, huh.
Yeah. I will say watching it, I'm like, wow, Dave is taking this a lot better than I did when that happened.
I did try to make it more scary, but there was no reaction from the game, so... But yeah, lots of fun. I don't think it was perfect. I think it didn't finish as well as it started. I'll say it that way. But overall, fantastic experience. Great game.
Because you were busy being scared?
No,
it's my understanding that they worked on the ending, you know, near the end of development, and they just wanted to sort of cap off the story.
Yeah, my grievances I can't really go over because most of my grievances would kind of spoil some aspects of the game, some of the like the flow and cadence of the game, even, so, which I don't want to do. But
I absolutely agree with you, Dave.
Do you expect that those grievances that I don't know because I haven't watched your streams yet will be resolved with Below Zero?
With Below Zero, no. Absolutely not. But with Subnautica 2, I'm hoping yes.
So I second Dave. I'm sure it's been a good thing of mine previously. The randomizer is also pretty good.
That's what I hear.
I want Dave, let's go. I want to play it. Us. I think
all
Dory's
right.
in.
Recording's over. Time to watch to Subnauticate. Let's have it.
I'm really confused as to what a Subnautica randomizer would even be.
So you know the... Have you played before, Mike? Or at
yeah.
least you familiar? So the fragments that you would scan are randomized.
Oh, I didn't get to those. Okay.
No, it's from like the very beginning. Like if you see a repair tool or whatever sitting on the ground and you scan that, it will give you a different recipe instead.
Okay, so the craftables are gained in random order. Okay.
And there's a few other things I don't want to necessarily get into right now, but that's the idea. I think the scanner entries can also be part of the randomizer too, if I recall. Don't quote me on that. I have to double check that.
Oh, like if you scan a purple Fruit Loop, you might get a recipe instead of the info box of
I want to say that's an option, but I don't fully remember. It's been a couple of years since we played. Anyway, good game.
All right. Craig, what's your good thing this week?
I want to do video game too. Oh, wow. You guys reminded me though. My daughter has a Ghostbusters book from when I was a kid. You know,
we
the real Ghostbusters.
Craig,
she knows who they are.
We haven't mentioned Ghostbusters in this episode yet.
Too late. It's on there. She knows who the Ghostbusters are. Like, it has all their names. It has the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It has Slimer. She's familiar. I must be doing this right, guys.
Yeah.
I think I'm raising her right.
For sure.
Canonically, there's like 800 Ghostbusters now.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the classics. Like, let's...
Part of being a good parent, Craig, is knowing which scenes to fast forward through during Ghostbusters.
Well, she hasn't watched the movie yet, and it will be a while. Anyway, my good thing this week is the new Mario Party game, Super Mario Party Jamboree. Anyway, it's really good. Guys and girls, Mario Party sort of fell by the wayside a little bit when they had that weird, let's all use the same car to go around the map. Horrible mistake. Thankfully, that was like two or three games back, because now they're good again. And this one, it has a single player mode. There's so many mini games and extras they threw in there. Like, there's so much to do. Love it. They did a really good job. Good presentation. We've been playing it a bunch. I lost once to my wife. I'm usually the winner. I don't go easy. Good game.
Good net play.
From what I hear, I was watching some streamers playing. It seems pretty decent. I have not tried it myself though. But if any of you on the call here happen to get the game, we'll have to try it.
Mike, can I have $60?
Ask your mom.
Hey, Tori, can I have $60?
No. Did you finish your chores?
Heck no. My room's a mess.
Craig, can Dave have $60?
Ask your mom.
Ask Mike's
mom. Oh my gosh. My daughter does that. She like if she doesn't get an answer that she likes from me, then she goes over to my wife and asks the same thing. And I've told her.
That's the tech.
That is the tech. And she it's scary. There's some lateral thinking going on there. I have to be real careful about what I say and do.
It's okay. You need to evolve. You need to adapt to your surroundings, and thus, your first question, instead of giving an answer, your first question needs to be, have you asked your mom?
I do that. I'm like, what did your mom say? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, you should check. Also, I have something to show you. I'll try to get my daughter, who has a name.
That has been said a ton of times on the podcast.
Probably.
Dude, don't dox her.
I want you to see the new toy that she just got from the store.
New bean bag.
It was on sale, and I'm not going to say no. It was actually my idea. Anyway,
we'll
do that.
What did her mom say?
Well, yeah, once I said it was on sale, she's like, sure.
Okay, yeah. But what did your mom say?
She's not the boss of me. Anyway, let's continue on. I'll see if she can bring it over in the middle of the episode.
All right, let's do some chapters, Dave, featuring Mike.
Oh, but my good thing goes after Craig.
I mean, we could just do good things all episode.
We could.
Someday.
So my good thing is that Audacity crashed and we lost half the episode, and now this is going to be really fun to listen to.
Chapter 31, The Sunlit Man by Brandon Sanderson. Secret Project number 4. Let's go. Is that right? Was it number 4?
It was.
Whew. Good guess. All right. Next game. Actually, chapter 31. They almost didn't make it, but then they do, except they kind of crash. Oh, guys, by the way, I read these chapters over a week ago because I forgot we weren't recording last week. So, good luck. Oh, that's it. That's chapter 31 for you. They almost don't make it, but then they do, except they kind of crash. Take it.
All right. So, yeah, they almost don't make it, but then they do. And get this, guys, except they kind of crash.
Oh, man. I'm glad you elaborated on that. I was so lost.
So if you'll remember, several years ago when we last read chapters, the engines ran out of water faster than Nomad was counting on. And once they got over the mountain, engines all died. And so they're in free fall.
It was kind of like a chasm hanger, only it was like a negative chasm that goes up instead of down, and also they were falling instead of hanging.
Yeah. So Nomad makes his way back to the controls, and there's a button he can press to restart the engines, and he's like, I'm not going to press it yet because the engines need to cool off, and we don't have water to do that, so got to let the air cool it off. And Aux, he can't say any of this because there's no air. And Aux is the whole time like, hey, idiot, press the button. Why aren't you pressing the button? Moron, press the button. And then Nomad's finally, there's enough air. And he's like, no, I can't press the button yet. Press the button. And then he presses the button. And some of the engines kick back on. Most of them don't. And it's just enough to slow them down slightly so that they crash in a somewhat less fatal manner. I have to assume that a bunch of people did die, and we just don't get shown that in these chapters.
No, the copper mine says nobody dies.
The book specifically said that nobody died.
Yeah, I think the book actually called out that they didn't die.
Well, that would be
I think
the
book lied to us.
Oh, yeah, unreliable narrator. People actually did die. Yeah, this is a common trope from Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, is this the toy?
Yes, this is the toy.
What did we find?
That rules. That is a pink rainbow unicorn?
And it's huge.
I can't see the head.
Yeah, show the head. Here. Whoa.
It's bigger than Craig.
Yeah, pink rainbow unicorn.
Ada, what'd you name it?
Well, what's the name? Can you say the name in here? Wildstar, which is from Unicorn Academy, one of her favorite shows right now. It is as big as her.
As big as her.
If I'm ever responsible for naming a unicorn, I have to give the reference to Borderlands 2, Butt Stallion.
So I saw it was in one of those bins that has a bunch of stuffed animals, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a pink unicorn, and she loves it. So I showed her, I'm like, look at this, and you know, she's hugging and everything. I'm like, it's on sale, so that it was purchased.
You are doing it right, Craig.
She has a lot of stuffed animals, but you can't say no to a full-size
unicorn.
That was so cute,
though.
Okay. We have many Squishmallows in our house at the moment.
Yeah.
And whenever I see one at the store that looks pretty cool and we don't have it yet, I am more... No, I pay full price at Costco, which is still quite a bit cheaper than pretty much everywhere else. So I guess sort of on sale. Anyway, yeah, I bring him home and surprise the wife, and she's like, you shouldn't have bought that, but also I will sleep with this forever.
We have a couple Squishmallows. She likes them, but yeah, no. Unicorn, insta-hit. Hit. Oh my god, I can't talk right now.
My favorite, okay, so I have two that are mine. One is a burrito. It's like wrapped in foil, and it has like lettuce and
chowder
stuff, hair, kind of. And then my other one, and this one is my actual favorite, is Elvis Stitch, and he's gigantic.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It's amazing. It's so good.
Yo, I have a friend who would love that, so if you know where to get that online, let me know.
I don't. I found it at Costco and bought it.
Okay.
And I mostly use it to sleep with so that I can throw my... I'm a side sleeper, so I can throw my arm over it and keep my shoulder in a normal position instead of all hunched up like my body does on its own because it hates me.
So speaking of unicorns, yes, no people died when the ship crashed, but knowing Brandon, I'm sure a horse or two did.
Oh, yeah.
If there was a horse on those ships, you bet they would die.
We can only hope.
I have a side question. Do you think Brandon is anti-unicorn? Like, if it was actually a unicorn, do you think they would survive? And he's only against horses.
Mm.
They're different.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
What if unicorns exist and they are a fane creature and have six legs?
What if?
What if we did chapter 32?
Yeah, how about that?
All right. Maybe we got a little more here. Chapter 32. Oh, nobody died. Yeah. Rebecca didn't believe because she smirked. Scene break. It's bad. Ghost meeting. We're working on repairs, but we need power. Time to steal our friend's souls back from Cider King. Zeo wants to steal a ship. Nomad wants to fly right into the maelstrom. I hope he's done this before. It's a day for insanity, folks.
All right, now that the ship has crashed, Nomad goes and checks on everybody else. He is also worried that the ghost containment tanks have breached and that murder ghosts are about to kill everyone, including him.
That was the plot.
That didn't happen. I thought that was the plot of the end of Ghostbusters 1, because Walter Peck has them shut down the containment unit.
They wouldn't reuse the same plot point in multiple Ghostbusters movies, though.
No. Ghostbusters 2 is the creepy painting of the guy from In the Mouth of Madness.
But they did reuse the containment unit thing in the new Ghostbusters. Frozen Empire.
No, I don't want to hear. I need to watch it still.
That's because the new Ghostbusters movies are creatively bankrupt.
I heard the newest one was it? I don't know. I actually don't know how many there are now.
I've heard that the newest one is good from someone who thought the one before that was good. And I've heard that the newest one was very bad from someone who thought the other new one was also very bad. And since I thought the other new one was very bad, I'm more inclined to believe the guy who didn't like the new one.
Well, as someone who likes the first original...
That's everyone, Craig.
Wait, Craig, check your wrist. Do you feel a pulse? Then you just might like the first Ghostbusters movie.
It's a good movie.
If not, then you're possibly a ghost and find it offensive.
All right. Nomad also spares a short thought for... I've lost her name. Angry lady chained up on the wall.
Elegy.
Elegy.
Elegy. Thank you.
Elegy. Elegy. Elegy.
Elig.
Elig Venture.
Anyway, he was worried about her because when he went to go fix the thing in two chapters ago, he cracked open the door and let all the air out, but turns out she is invested enough to be okay.
All right, guys, here's the problem. The problem is that elegy is too close to the word elegant, which has a hard G, so that's why I can't keep it straight.
Anyway, he goes back to check on everybody. Rebecca's like...
Is that the hard G? Which one's the hard G and which one's the soft G?
GIF or JIF?
I think G peanut butter is hard and J is soft.
I don't care.
They're kind of hard to say.
What the creator has to say, it's GIF, but the creator says JIF.
It's like GIF without the T.
graphical something I format.
Interchange.
Well, then it
format.
Would have to be GIF, wouldn't it? If the G is
why not GIF?
Graphical.
Graphical.
JPEG.
Jeff.
Ping.
Ping. TIFF. Pix. How do you say Pix?
anyway,
he
checks.
How do you say the file extension .pcx?
I don't.
I don't know that I've ever used that file type, ever. I don't even know what that is. Like, what program is that?
It's something Kid Dave Pix. Made up.
Kid Pix was like Mario Paint for PCs in, like, the early 90s, maybe late 80s.
Right, I think okay. I missed that one. And I actually in, played Mario
Paint. Saved in format.
All right. Nomad goes to check on everybody. Surprise! No one died somehow. I don't know. And then they talk about how to get the thing flying again. They're like, well, we're working on parts and replacing stuff and fabricating things and all the whatnots and who's-its, but none of that really matters because we don't have any power. Remember all that power that we didn't have before? We have less now.
Meat.
So Nomad's like, well, what if we get some power? And they're like, you're crazy! And he's like, I sure am. But his plan is to fly into the storm at the Terminator line. So after the sun has passed, there's a giant storm as the air cools. And he's like, I can fly into that. I flew into a storm just like it before.
Just like it.
Just like it. And they're like, okay, we'll do that. Because they need more sun hearts. Okay. Oh, there's a ladybug flying around my office. Ooh. Or a Japanese beetle. I don't know how to tell the difference between them visually.
Well, things in the book will certainly go well. I wonder what chapter 33 has to say about that.
It says, I don't think Kid Pix had a music composer, but it did have really cool ways to erase the screen. And it also had voices. Like when you click the letters of the alphabet, it would say the letter out loud so you could learn your alphabet, and had it in Spanish. So if you want to learn your Spanish alphabet, Kid Pix.
Okay, but are there a million billion videos on YouTube of people covering songs in Kid Pix music rather than Mario Paint?
I don't think it has the music. Maybe they could remix the alphabet song with it.
Exactly. Mario Paint supremacy.
You know,
plus you had the fly swatter game.
Oh, yeah. There was no fly swatter game in Kid Pix.
The only reason to play Mario Party. And the composer.
Mario Party.
You guys don't like when I say Mario, so I'm going to say Mario.
We said Mario Party. Anyways, didn't Totaka compose that? Tota KK? You know,
I think he did. Yeah.
Okay,
hold on. His song was in the game. I don't know that he actually composed it. Because his song was also in Link's Awakening, but I don't think he composed Link's Awakening. But they had the reference to For Whom the Frog Told. I'm sorry, I'm way tangential. Go, Mike.
I need to interrupt the tangent with another tangent. Craig, you don't like the way we say it. We don't like the way you say a word, so you're going to say it correctly. Since when, sir?
I'm trying my best. It's a work in progress.
Anyway, Totaka's song was in Mario Paint. I think you click the O like at the end and it plays his song. But that doesn't necessarily mean like he composed the game. How much music did he actually do for Animal Crossing? Anyway, that's like a bit of lore. If you're listening to this and you're like, what are you talking about? Just go look up a YouTube video on Totaka's song. It's kind of interesting. It's like an Easter egg in many different video games that he composed. Okay. Chapter 33. Hardy and Blessed Fools. Rebecca Killer. The Sun Heart Leeching doesn't work because it's not connected to Nomad. He just needs a hacksaw. Elegy can't know old Elegy, but maybe she can trust her. Nomad gives Mommy Sliver to Elegy. Nomad proficiently ignores Dread. Which is great because that was a great entry into the Metroid series. This darkness is on fire.
Oh no.
All right, so because Nomad came up with an insane plan in the last chapter, now they have to pull off the insane plan. So he gets a team together. And by he gets a team together, I mean he gets one assigned to him.
Zeal.
Zeal and some other folks that are, I guess, tougher than the norm.
Janice Zeal from Chrono Trigger.
A little bit, I lost the word I was going to use. Moving on.
Ragtag. Ragamuffin. Rags to riches.
Sure. He and Rebecca have a whole conversation where she's all like, can you teach me how to be a killer? And he's like, I can teach you how to be a fighter, and then you can use that to be a killer because you get to train yourself to do stuff without thinking about it. And she's like, that sounds bad. I don't want to do that. And he's like, I agree. And then she gives him the sliver of her mom's son heart that she kept for sentimental reasons, except that she seems to not feel any sentiment toward it. And then Nomad takes that, goes and talks to and he's like, hey, you're less violent than before. How you doing? And she's like, I would still like to kill everyone. But I suppose I can stop myself. So, like, everyone here knows me. That's weird. And he's like, yeah, everyone, well, knew you. They don't know you now, but they knew you. Here, you want a chunk of your mom's soul? Like, yeah. And Nomad unshackles one of her arms. He's like, that's how much I trust you. 25%.
He trusts her this much. Which, incidentally, is also the size of the fish caught by the one-armed fisherman.
And then the Dredd reference I would have made would have been to the Carl Urban Judge Dredd remake, Dredd, which was phenomenal if you haven't seen it. It's so good. And then, yeah, nobody wants to. Okay.
I don't know. Is that a comic book?
Judge Dredd is a comic book character, so technically Judge Dredd and Dredd are both comic book movies. But they're not like Marvel.
Is he like the Punisher?
No, he is the law.
So it's the Punisher.
Yeah. No, the Punisher is not.
Yeah.
The Punisher is very explicitly not the law.
The Punisher is taking the law into his own hands. Dredd yes. is the law.
So the Punisher is taking Dredd into his hands?
Yeah.
This is the crossover that we need.
They should kiss. Mm-hmm. I bet there's art of that out on the internet already. I'm going to look for that after we record.
I'm going to look for it right now.
Listeners at home, do as you digress.
Here comes Ada with that unicorn again.
Oh my god!
And then we get to see the storm, and oh no, it's on fire, which is nothing like the storm on Roshar. So Nomad's all like, well, this was a bad plan that I made. Darn.
Yep, he's dead. Well, they haven't gone through with the plan yet. They still have time to back out, methinks.
Well, let's find out if they do that in Chapter 34. Craig just hurled a child on camera.
And a unicorn. Don't forget the unicorn.
Just flung her. Too.
Just flung the child very dangerously.
She asked for it.
She's a child. She doesn't know what's good and what's not.
She absolutely does. Not.
You're the adult in this situation, Craig. It's up to you to decide whether or not
if
to.
If someone could throw me cater into this, to her I whims. Would totally ask for it.
I'm coming over.
Craig, you need to make more pro wrestler friends because they totally could throw you into that.
That's true.
Get a nice belly-to-belly suplex going on. Chapter 34.
Chapter 34. Nomad is used to seeing storms on water and on wind, maybe on lightning, even rarely on rock. But on fire? This is the second usage of, quote, tens of. Is this a Roshar thing? The ship can maybe handle the maelstrom? IDK. Nomad is an emo. He loves the weeping. I forgot. See, I wrote these notes over a week ago. I forgot how witty I was.
Don't you love when that happens?
This is bad, like, really bad. Like, why did we even try something so crazy?
That is my favorite part of editing, is hearing me say something that I thought was funny and it being long enough ago that I forgot I said it.
My favorite thing about re-listening to episodes is when something comes up and I think of a comment in my head and then I hear myself say it. I was like, that guy was thinking what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's number two.
Man, I never say anything good.
Oh.
Laugh track. Mike, insert a laugh track there. Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
Please don't. Nobody likes a laugh track.
The planet is like a big straw that drinks investiture, but Nomad is too spole to get sucked through it. Ground darked man. Nomad is useless. No. What a horrible place to end this week's chapters.
But Didn't we go to 35? Isn't there
Dave's
one more?
Doing his thing. Don't worry about it. All right. Can I have the beginning of the bullet points, please? Thank you. All right. Maybe. Earth, fire, wind, water, heart. Wait a second. Fire? I don't like fire. The storm is on fire.
Wheeler
and
sucks, dude. He was such a bigot. Why did they put up with him? Why is his name Wheeler?
Why doesn't Mati ever use the power of heart effectively?
True. It's so versatile, and yet it's so underused.
Yeah.
He can use it to summon fish to the dish, just like that song by Bare Naked Ladies that was about Aquaman, I think.
Yeah. Storm's on fire. This is a really bad idea. I don't remember the Tenzo thing, but it's a Roshar thing. I mean, Probably. It should just be a humans with the normal number of fingers thing, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, I've seen I've been in this situation tens of times. Like, you know, we would exaggerate and say thousands or millions.
Or dozens,
if we're, yeah.
Dozens. That's slightly more than 10, yes.
Yeah.
So before he was like, I've been to tens of worlds, which is like, I could believe he's been to like 30 or 40 worlds. Like, that makes sense. But this idiom has come up again, which makes me think that it's a Roshar thing.
Or it's a Lex Luthor has stolen 40 pies. That's 4 tens, and that's terrible.
But 40 pies like 120.
The ship can maybe handle the maelstrom. Yeah. So Nomad, seeing the storm on fire, is like, wait a second. Can this thing even survive that? And they're like, meh. we reinforced it, and we've got thermal shielding and insulation and junk and stuff. But we never actually tried it, so good luck! And then they go in. But as they're going in, Nomad's having a little thinky time to himself. And he's like, I like the rain. There's no rain here, but I like the rain. And then as they go in, he's like,
that song.
This is very bad, and I'm dumb, and we're all going to die.
He likes the rain, like multiple songs from 90s alternative rock. I think Blind Melon comes to mind.
No, that was No Rain.
Right, but he starts to complain when there's no rain.
Oh, I see.
And then there's
There's a CCR. Have you ever seen the rain?
I mean, all I can say is
what's
that my
life song is that's breaking? I'm only happy when
by
it
garbage.
Rains. Who is that?
Only
yeah.
happy
yeah, garbage.
When it rains. Only happy when it's complicated. And then the copyright police come get us.
Shirley Manson, by the way, was phenomenal on the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the Terminator TV show. She was real good. Yeah, so the planet is like a big straw that drinks investiture, but Nomad is too swole to get sucked through it. So this actually answers a physics issue that I had, which was if the sun is outputting that much energy to the planet's surface every rotation, there is no way that the surface could cool off enough in the half day or what, however long it is.
I think it's 10 Earth hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that amount of time to be survivable.
Sorry, 10 Cosmere standard hours.
Except, apparently, the planet is like a massive investiture battery that keeps sucking in heat.
But then where does the heat go? To the spiritual realm? Or
cognitive
realm?
I don't know yet. We need to learn more, and I assume that we will learn something, but probably not enough before the end of the book. That's my guess.
Heat is just energy, yeah? So the energy is just turning into investiture.
I guess isn't hot.
We'll have to get my husband in here, because he actually wrote papers on, like, heat transfer and I don't know all the terms, but that was the thing that he did.
I would actually go the other way and say energy is heat.
Energy is heat. Heat is energy. Or at least they're both measured in joules.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
cold is just we're really tired.
How many
so
Qs is that?
What happens when the planet's core, the planet core? Blah, that was a little Star Wars prequel reference for everybody. What happens when the planet core is full? Does it explode?
Takes a nap.
Does it make a giant, the thing that lets you go from the physical to the cognitive perpendicularity? Does it make a big old planet-sized perpendicularity? I don't know. Also, why did the sunlight not cause massive destruction to Nomad when he was out of the atmosphere.
That's still at large.
Yeah, still don't know. Anyway, Nomad gets out of the ship in the storm, in the firestorm, and immediately burns to death.
Nomad, no.
The end.
Oh, no, it turns out didn't burn to death, just mostly. He has just enough investiture to not be dead, but not enough to, you know, have nerve endings or eyelids or eyes or skin. So he buries himself in the mud, the very, very hot mud, and just bakes, which slows down how fast he's dying enough that what's left of his investiture, which is almost nothing at this point, is able to keep him from being 100% dead. He's like 98%. Miracle Max could save him, but that's about it.
What about true love?
No, no, because what he actually said was to blave, which means to bluff.
Oh, okay.
And that's all we have for 4 out of 5 of our chapters this week.
I was just saying, hypothetically, this would be a horrible place to end this week's chapters. We still have chapter 35. In Iriali rap sounds delicious right about now. Nomad is the cabinet. You'd think that, like, this is the last chapter of the week, so I would have read it the most recently, and I would have understood the bullet points more than the previous chapters, but so far we're 0 for 2.
Yeah, I'm with you so far.
Okay, I'm not. When all you have is an ox, every tool is a crowbar, or something like that. Zeal is here to help.
All right, Nomad.
And that's the end of this week's chapters.
Yep. So Nomad, who is buried in mud, waits until it stops being quite so brutally hot outside, and we get to the actual rain part, and so he unburies himself and waits for the Cinder King's people to show up. Turns out the Cinder King is one of his people who shows up.
I thought it was the Cinder King. Did we change it when I wasn't paying attention?
No, you're right. You're right. It's been 37 years since we last recorded.
Because the Cinder King, FYI, is the bad guy on Vox Machina.
Okay. Who is he on Arcane?
I don't know that.
That's the Netflix League of Legends cartoon.
I would say the Cinder King in Runeterra would be Brand. Maybe Annie.
Okay. Anyway, he waits for a ship to land and people to get out, and he goes inside, and he turns Ox into the top and front of a cabinet so he can hide. And he's like,
make that noise from Metal Gear.
I sure hope they don't try to open one of these drawers that isn't a drawer. But no, they just drop their
here.
They drop their sun hearts in like the closest drawers to the door, and it's one sun heart per drawer. I'm not sure why. Don't know why they need to be like kept separate like that.
They don't get along.
They can't bonk into each other. No, they don't get along.
Anyway, he waits for them to leave again, and Jimmy's opened the locked drawers with Crow Box, steals the sun hearts and tries to get out, but he can't because they shut the door behind them and he doesn't know how to open it, and he can't convince Ox to convince himself to let himself turn Ox into a shard blade. It's complicated.
He did it before. The waiter last time let me have a shard blade.
Yeah. But then the door opens from outside and it's Zeal who shows up. And then the chapter ends.
Hooray.
Ominously. Like, good job, maybe Zeal Tori isn't actually here to help. All right, I guess this is time for Mike and me to guess what's going to happen with Zeal showing up. Like, yeah. What's that about? Talk he to here us. To be a good guy or a bad guy? I'm guessing bad, if my bullet point didn't make that obvious.
Oh, so, what do you if this were the end of a TV show, Zeal would have opened the door and shown up, then pulled out a gun and shot toward the camera, but the camera is from Nomad's perspective. Right, so it looks like he shoots Nomad. And then we start the next episode replaying the last few seconds of that scene, and then we pan out to see that there was someone behind Nomad that Zeal shot.
Yep. But if this was the middle
even
of the episode,
I feel like I've
and
seen
this was
that
commercial
before,
break,
Mike.
Then he'd open the door and pull out the gun. And then we'd go
but
to
then commercial. Wouldn't fire it,
yeah. And we'd have to come back from the commercial to see if he was going to shoot anybody.
Yeah. So yes, Zeal is still on team the guys that Nomad is helping.
Bastion is a different game with a floating city.
Beacon is a pretty good tabletop RPG system with great art in the book. Can recommend. It should be a good thing of mine at some point. I'm running a game of it that we meet pretty infrequently. I would like to play it more, but, you know, scheduling adults to do something it's extremely difficult. I'm honestly amazed that we managed to do this most weeks.
Once every 37 years, yeah.
Yeah.
We're like cicadas, you know, we crawl out of our holes every 7 years or so and record an episode.
Yep. But yeah, Beacon, real good. Real good tabletop RPG. It's by, let me look. I have the book in the room, but it's over on a table that I don't want to get up to go grab. So, Pirate Gonzalez Games. And you can get the PDF on itch.io. For the full PDF is $25. But if you just want to play it as a player and let someone else pay money for the full thing to actually run the game, that part is free. Or if you want to run the game for people and you don't want them to have to spend money, you can spend the $25 on yourself, get the full thing, and they can get the player side book chunk for free. Beacon. This is not a paid ad. I just really like this game. But Mr. Pirate Gonzalez Games, if you would like to pay me to tell people about Beacon, I will gladly do so. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Beacon?
I think we were talking about Zeal shows up and shoots the camera.
Or doesn't, depending on if it's a commercial or not.
Yeah.
What if it's a end of a season?
End of a season, he fires the gun and he does shoot Nomad, and we don't get to learn if Nomad lives or dies until the next season.
Or we get the command to fire nukes. That turns out still needed an additional command that we see at the beginning of the first episode of the next season.
Or we straight up kill Nomad and he's lying in a pool of blood as the camera pans out, fade to black, and we have to wait till the next season for the Red Priestess to revive him.
And you're all having way too much fun with this.
Okay, so
we're speaking from experience.
It's true.
Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure Brandon writes his chapter endings to work as commercial breaks. So, like, they are akin to a commercial break in a show, whereas, like, the part endings are episode endings, and then book endings are season finales, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Ah.
So, what we're actually dealing with here, unless this is the end of a part, and I don't think it was, because I think I tried to move on to 36, and I was like, wait, I'm not supposed to read 36, but there wasn't, like, a part 5 or wherever we are thing. So, yeah. Zeal just shows up and pulls the gun. And we get to see what happens at the beginning of the next chapter. But in the meantime, we get to get the 877 Cash Now jingle stuck in our heads. Which has got to be, like, the widest spread for such a very specific target audience. Right?
Mike, don't forget who pays us and doesn't.
Well, they don't, so I can trash talk them. But like the audience is people who have a structured settlement, not a huge group, and then a subset of that group who needs cash now, an even smaller group, and they're doing national ads with the earwormiest jingle ever made.
I guess I just don't watch enough TV. I mean.
And I also didn't actually name the company, so. But if it's in your head now, you know who it is. Mm-hmm. Which apparently just isn't Dave. Hey guys, question for you.
Yeah.
Was that a movie? I don't think I've seen that one.
No, it's a commercial that airs a lot. Is the Tootsie Roll, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll ad, older than the M&M's Santa ad?
Yeah.
Or the other way around?
It's got to be older.
Because I think one of those two is the oldest ad, like, that still plays regularly. No, don't look it up. Looking it up is cheating.
Oh, well, that's my guess, is the Tootsie Pop. Okay. Now can I look it up?
No. Oh. Or if you do, don't tell me.
Okay.
Why that's did spoilers, you ask Craig. If you didn't want to know?
Well, I'll save it for spoiler time then.
Okay. Are we having a spoiler time? Should I go away now?
No, there's no spoiler time. Unless Tori wants okay. one.
Can I leave? I mean, should I go away?
You want to go play more Subnautica? Let's go.
Tell us how you really feel, Dave.
I think we're actually done for today, though.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Good night, Internet.
Good night.
Bye. Dave's gone, and the episode.
This has been the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @CosmereCast or like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.